Let's open our Bibles tonight to the book of Daniel, chapter 9, as we continue the Power of Prayer series, part 4. The Power of Prayer series, part 4, prayer that changes a nation. Prayer that changes a nation. We've talked a lot about our personal prayers before God, and in this passage, we want to discover how prayer can change an entire nation. Daniel is a great example of this. Nehemiah was another great example. We'll talk about him probably next week. But right now, we want to focus in on Daniel and this very powerful prayer that he sends forth before the throne of God and how God moves in their lives and the children of Israel, and he will make changes for them into the future. So one thing I want you to realize, as we look to the book of Daniel, Daniel was a prophet, a young man, actually. He was about 17 years old when he was taken captive by the Babylonian Empire, by the Babylonians. He was taken captive out of Jerusalem, and he was hauled off with the famous Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and many others. They were hauled off to Babylon, and they were trained in the ways of Babylon. What the Babylonians like to do is take captives, young ones that were captives. They would take them captive, and then they would train them in the ways of Babylon and then send them back to the land where they were taken from, or keep them amongst the people they were taken from, because they would enslave the people. And they would use the people to for their own means, for their own benefits, their own prosperity, as slaves, the Babylonians would. And then they would train the young ones so they would be used as communicators, and they would be indoctrinated in the ways of Babylon, you see. And so they would indoctrinate them. They would accept the ways of Babylon because they're young, they're fresh, their minds are fresh, and then they would be used in their own native tongue to speak to their people and then to direct the people what they need to do. Now, we see the same exact example today. When we send off our children to the university, their minds are fresh, they're young, they don't have the wisdom of going through life and all of life experiences. And so what happens is we send them off and they get indoctrinated in the ways of the world, in the ways of evolution, in the ways of secularism, in the ways of humanism, in the ways of socialism. This is what our universities have become throughout the United States of America. So I think it's real important, so when we send our children off to college, to try to do our very best to keep them in Christ. There's some good Christian colleges out there, universities, Liberty University, great college, and so forth, and others, but it's important that we try to keep them in the Lord, because the universities today, their first step is to break down that student's values, their traditions, their family values, what they've been taught, any religious beliefs they have, and they want to indoctrinate them in the ways of socialism and secularism and humanism and ultimately hedonism also. It all takes place. And so Daniel, though, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they would not bend. They would not be broken. They would not fold. They would keep the faith. And they're such great examples to each of our lives. All the way through their captivity, God kept raising up these young men and using them as tremendous influences in the nations that they were held captive in. First the Babylonians, and then conquering the Babylonians would be the Medo-Persians, you see? And God used their lives and raised them up as right-hand men and officers and governors within those kingdoms, because the kings, the rulers, recognized that these men had a unique spirit about them. This is important for us. See, as we are in the Word of God, as we're men and women of prayer, as we know our God, we love our God, there'll be a unique spirit. He's the Holy Spirit, amen? And he will guide us and lead us, and he will raise us up in the various jobs or positions or in government, wherever God takes us. He will raise us up as we seek the Lord. Remember, Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you." He has a way of raising us up before all kinds of people in the world. Now, I would have never thought when I first got saved that ever I would ever be in the state, at someone's state capital, like here in Hawaii, and I'd be saying the opening invocation. I would have never thought I'd be standing before admirals and generals and praying a benediction or an invocation or doing a transfer, you know, at someone, speaking at all kinds of different places with all these different high-ranking people or governors or officers, whatever. And God has a way of just slowly but surely taking you and raising you up and using your life. So what I want you to understand is, I'm not trying to say anything about myself. Don't ever sell yourself short. God has great plans for you. You may say, well, not me. Yes, you. Amen. You might just say, I'm just a so-and-so. And all of a sudden you find yourself going through the company and God's raising you up in that company. So you have a tremendous influence of light and truth and righteousness with all the employees within that company. That they see you as a man or a woman of integrity, of virtue, of care and compassion and concern. They're just not an employee, but you're actually concerned about each and every one of their lives. Boy, I tell you what, don't you love to work for somebody like that? I've worked for both. I remember I had this one boss, he was a jerk. I mean, he could care less about you. And he just treated you like dirt and just made all these demands. And, you know, as a young guy growing up and being employed and so forth, and I thought, man, this guy's a jerk, you know? And this other manager took over the store that I was working in, this grocery store, big grocery chain in Southern California. This other guy came in, and he took over. And this guy, you wanted to come to work for that guy. He made you feel welcomed. He made you feel important. He made you feel like you're doing a good job. And just like we're all part of the team. And he motivated you to do the job. And he would reward you for good work. And you knew that would take place with him. See, it's important for us to realize the kind of people we need to be in the public arena and, of course, in the private home. Amen? So here, one thing that is interesting to me in Daniel chapter 1, we're going to be in chapter 9, but in Daniel chapter 1, this is what happened as Babylon came and took over the southern kingdom, which is Judah. The northern kingdom, the 10 tribes north, they've already been wiped out by the Assyrians. Then Babylon rises up, conquers the Assyrians. The Assyrians had already taken the 10 tribes of the north and scattered them as slaves amongst their empire. Now the Babylonians take over the Assyrian empire, and now they attack Judah, the southern kingdom that God had protected. But because Judah went off into idolatry also, God's hand of protection was removed from them, and then they're conquered by the Babylonians. But listen to what it says here. It says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. Now here's your key, verse 2. Read this very closely. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. That is, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. Who gave him over? The Lord gave Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, into his hand. This is what I fear for our nation, that God will finally say, I'm giving you over into the hands of the Chinese. I'm giving you over in the hands of the Russians. I'm giving you over into the hands of Islam. I think we better return to the Lord and live for him. Amen? Amen. You see, there comes a point in time where God says your sin is full of so much stench and has so filled the heavens, I cannot take it any longer. And I'm giving you over. I will no longer provide for you. I will no longer protect you. And now you will reap the whirlwind of your sins. America, let's repent and get right with God. State of Hawaii, enough of these foolish laws that are totally against God. Enough of this. It's time to return to the Lord. They want to legitimize prostitution. They've been talking about that and the gambling. And then they have the thing against the pro-life centers right now, supporting Planned Parenthood. Now they want to push euthanasia. Also bring all the drugs and the pot laws and loosen them up. And so everybody just smoke pot all over the place. My goodness, what has happened to us? What has happened to us? We're going to destroy ourselves, and God will give us over, maybe to the North Koreans. You see, it's important for us to be men and women of prayer and serving our God. Now, Daniel chapter 9. I think we set that up well enough. Verse We have three insights to the power of prayer here in Daniel chapter 9. Insight number one, verses 1 and 2, prophecy leads to prayer. Isn't that interesting? Prophecy leads to prayer. How many of you know that the Bible predicts that there's going to be a coming 7-year tribulation on planet Earth? Raise your hands. Okay, there's coming a 7-year tribulation. How many of you know there's going to be a coming Antichrist into the world in the last days? Raise your hands. How many know there's going to be a mark of the beast? Raise your hands. Nobody can buy or sell unless they have a mark of the beast. Amen. See, prophecy leads us to pray for family, for friends, because we know we're coming to the rapture of the church. How many know that prophetically the rapture of the church could happen tonight? Raise your hands. Amen. You see, it leads us to pray for family and friends that are not saved, that they would get saved before it's too late and they go into the great tribulation period. Prophecy also excels us in our prayer life. We see what's happened in the Middle East right now. Israel's become a nation once again. We see it surrounded by these Muslim nations. We see Russia moved into Syria. And the Bible talks about that Russia and Iran will be aligned together in an alliance according to the book of Ezekiel, chapters 38 and 39. Prophecy causes us to pray for the nation of Israel, amen? And to pray for our current president, Donald Trump, that he makes the right decisions in these last days. Now, I don't know when all this is going to take place. We have no idea. But I pray that these people that he has chosen around him, that they would be people, men and women, of prayer. That they would pray and seek God for wisdom, for knowledge, for understanding, like a Daniel, like a Nehemiah. And they would recognize their need for God in their life and the decisions that they're facing regarding our nation and regarding the world. And God will speak to them. And God will guide them. And God will help us in these last days. It was a wonderful thing today that Donald Trump, our president, and Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, got together, shook hands, came to agreements, came to complimenting each other, saying that we as the United States of America will help Israel. We are there with you. We are allied with you. We will help you. We will bless you. We will protect you. We will be stronger than we've ever been before. It's a new day in the relationship between the United States and Israel. And basically all God's people would say, amen. Yeah. Because God says, I will bless the nations that bless Israel. I will curse the nations that curse Israel. Keep our president in prayer because you know the devil does not like this. Okay? And you see the attacks on him every single day and his cabinet and all the people he's got around him. It is vicious. These are vicious, 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 constant attacks. Now, he's not a perfect man. We know that. Some of his tweets, you go, oh, my goodness, stop it already. Anyway. But it's important for us to realize that he's just a man like us. And God, for whatever reason, has raised him up for this day. And he's making godly decisions when it comes to pro-life. Yes. When it comes to the nation of Israel. Yes. When it comes to protecting this nation. I share with the staff out of the book of Nehemiah this morning. We have a staff meeting every Wednesday. I share with them. Nehemiah built walls. Walls around Jerusalem in 52 days. He was a builder and he was a battler. And maybe God has raised up Donald Trump for a day like this. I think we need some walls down the southern border. What do you say? $62 billion worth of drugs cross that border every year. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of drugs. In fact, they just discovered a catapult that they had put on the Mexican side of one of the walls, and they were using it to hurl 50-pound bags of marijuana into our country. And whoever knows what else. They had to dismantle it. A catapult. Spring-loaded. Interesting times we live in, I tell you. The Bible says in the first year, Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. Let me fill you in a little bit of details here. The Medo-Persian empires just conquered the Babylonians. Remember the handwriting on the wall? That's just taking place. The Medes and Persians have just conquered the Babylonians. Daniel had already prophesied, as God had spoken to him, that these are the kingdoms of the world. The Babylonians, the Medo-Persians, Following the Medo-Persians will be the Grecians. Following the Grecians will be the Romans. And then in the last days, there'll be a revived Roman Empire. Each of these predictions, each of these prophecies have come to fruition, have come to pass. The Word of God is sure. In fact, they're so accurate that some people try to say, there's no way Daniel could have written this because it's too accurate. Well, I got news for you. Daniel just dictated what God spoke to him. So God wrote it, actually. Okay? And God knows the past, the present, and the future. And so he laid it out for Daniel, and Daniel prophesied. He followed the word of the Lord. So here it says that, when you read the word Chaldeans, in case you don't know, Chaldeans is speaking of the Babylonians, all right? So just another terminology. And so it says, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books. I want you to highlight that. I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. What do you learn about this man of prayer? He's a man of the books. He's a man of the word of God. This is a great key. If you want to have your prayers answered, if you want to be powerful in prayer, you have to be a man or woman of the books, of the Bible. Studying the Bible, learning the Bible, growing in God's word. My people perish for their lack of what? For their lack of knowledge. This is why we teach you from Genesis to Revelation. Right now we're doing a topical series on prayer. We break here and there, but we will always be teaching you from Genesis to Revelation because you need to know all the books. You need to know the context of the Word of God. As a whole, in each book of the Bible, all 66 books, you understand the context of the book of Genesis, the context of the book of Exodus, the context of the book of Leviticus, and so on and so forth, Numbers and Deuteronomy. And as we go through the historical books, the prophets, the Psalms, and so on, the Gospels, the book of Acts, the epistles, the book of Revelation, amen. Understand the context. And the only way to do that is you got to study the whole book. You can't just pull a scripture out and start with a pretext and you become with an off-the-wall text, okay? This is why we keep it all in context. And so here's Daniel. He says, I've been reading the books. And he was especially reading the prophet who? Jeremiah. Jeremiah the prophet. And Jeremiah, as God spoke to him, he wrote, there'll be 70 years of captivity for Israel. 70 years. You're going to be taken captive. They were taken captive by the Babylonians, wiped out 586 B.C. 70 years later, they're going to be allowed to go back to Jerusalem. So Daniel knows. See, here's the other cool thing about Daniel. I love this. Let's think about it now. Did he read Jeremiah and go, Jeremiah, you don't know what he's talking about. It's just a book. It's written by men. There's too many contradictions in the Bible. And Jeremiah, he doesn't know. No, Jeremiah, Daniel was a man of faith. He knew men and women of God. He knew the prophets of God. He knew that every prophecy they had spoken was always coming to pass. They were proven in their lives. So when he read their books, he says, yes, it is true. The Bible is absolutely true, my friends. There are no contradictions. Zero. Zero. The only contradiction will be in my mind because I haven't studied to figure out what it's saying, according to culture, according to history, or according to language. Hebrew in the Old Testament, Aramaic in Hebrew, and then Greek in the New Testament. I have to do some digging sometimes. Sounds like a contradiction, but once I dig, I find out, no, it's not a contradiction. So these things that people parrot in our world, they parrot. Polly want a cracker? They just parrot. But they don't take time to study. So we study, we find out the answers, we contend for the faith, and we declare what's true. So here's Daniel. First thing we discover about Daniel, prophecy leads to prayer. He's reading the books. He's reading Jeremiah. I need to pray. God is moving in his heart. I need to pray, man. Things are happening. I need to pray. The time that Daniel is speaking this, the time is about 539 BC. The time he was hauled off in the captivity was around 600 BC. We're descending, of course. So it's now 539 BC. He's lived through the Babylonian Empire. Now he's going to be living through the Medo-Persian Empire. It says here, 70 years are determined upon Israel. Now, Daniel practiced and understood, prophecy leads to prayer. Daniel practiced and understood what Peter would write for us in the New Testament, for the New Testament church, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 to 21. What did Peter write for us? He says, "And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. In the dark world that we live, we have a light that guides our path. It is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path, the Bible declares. It is the Word of God." So we study all the prophets of God. From Moses, Moses was the great prophet of God, amen? He gave us the first five books of the Bible. So we have to study the first five books of the Bible as we study the prophets. Moses was a prophet. And we continue on through the rest of the Old Testament into the New Testament. We find that the apostles are prophesying, speaking to us, and telling us what's going to happen in even these last days. We also discover in verse 2, Daniel understood by the books the number of years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. After Jerusalem was destroyed, 586 BC, then it'll be 70 years and you'll be allowed to come back to the land. This is spoken of in Jeremiah chapter 25, verses 1 to 14, chapter 29, verses 1 to 13. Daniel knew that God answers prayer because God had spoken that in 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 33 to 34, verses 46 to 53. Also, he knows the lives of men before him of which God had answered prayers for them, from Abraham onwards, Moses and so forth. So many prayers were answered. All right, let's pick up this prayer of Daniel. Insight number two. Insight number one, prophecy leads us to prayer. Insight number two, verses 3 to 19. Daniel's five steps to answered prayer. Daniel's five steps. Step number one, here we go. Let's get into this. Verse 4 is step number one. You ready? Here we go. He says, "Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make request by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who," what? "Love him." He keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him. If you don't love God, you could be praying 24 hours a day. It's not going to be answered. But when you give your heart completely over to God, and now you pray, your prayers will be answered. It's very important. Because as some people say, "Well, God's not answering my prayers. I'm mad at God, blah, blah, blah." Well, let me ask you this. Do you love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength?
Well, sometimes.
Really? You want to be married to somebody sometimes? You're married to your wife. "Honey, I'm married to you on Mondays. Outside of that, I'm just do whatever I want. I'll see you on Monday." No, that's not a love relationship. People treat God that way. "I'll get right on Sundays. Sundays, I'll get right. That's it. I'm right on Sundays. Rest of the week, forget it. I'm doing my thing. Come the weekends, woo-hoo, watch out." Hey, God answers the prayers and pours out his love and mercy on you as you love him with all your heart. He says, "And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession." There's another key element. Confession. What is his purpose in prayer? You know what? I need to confess my sins to God. And he's going to confess the sins of the people of Israel as well. And he said, "O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments." Here in step number one, verse four, we have a revelation within Daniel's heart. It's important for us to have a revelation within our hearts. It is the realization, this revelation brings a realization of our need for God and who He is. He is Lord. He is great. He is awesome. He is merciful. He keeps His covenant with those who love Him and keep His commandments. And I put here a little question for all of us. Who is your God today? Are you your own God? Is someone else your God? Or do you really commit your heart to God and love Him? Have you come to that realization? If you come to the realization, you'll have a revelation in your own heart that God will answer your prayers, that God is with you no matter what. He will take care of you. He's a merciful God. He's a loving God. He keeps His covenant. You're saved, man. You said that sinner's prayer. You are saved. And you love God, you'll live for God. You're not perfect. I know that. Neither am I. But you do love God. And you want to know God, and you want to worship God. You want to honor God. You want to serve God. Yes, amen. You've come to that realization through the revelation of the Word of God. Daniel, as we read this verse, he knows his God. Amen? Do you know your God? I pray you do. I pray you do. If you don't, let's get to know Him tonight. Amen? That's the key. This is not to condemn you. This is to encourage you, to move you forward. No discouragement here. Step number two, verses 5-8. We have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. Neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings and our princes, to our fathers and all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to us, shame of face, as it is this day. To the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and all Israel, those near and those far off, in all the countries to which you have driven them, because of the unfaithfulness which they have committed against you. O Lord, to us belongs shame of face, to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, because we have sinned against you. Wow. What does he do? Let's take care of business. Let's get our hearts right with God. Let's confess our sins. God, I know who you are. Oh, and I know who I am. How about that? Yeah? Do you know who you are? I know who I am. When I'm compared to a holy and righteous God that's perfect in all his ways, shame of face. Amen? Oh, God, please forgive me for my sins. Lord, I'm not a perfect man. Your son is perfect. And I want you to change me. I want you to cleanse me. I want you to root out every wicked way that's within me. Change the way I think. Change the way I speak. Change the way my heart is. Get rid of the bitterness. Get rid of the unforgiveness. Get rid of the jealousies. Get rid of the envies. Get rid of the lust. Get rid of the lying. Get rid of the stealing. On and on. And now you might say, Pastor, are you doing all that stuff? Well, no, I'm just saying, for all of us. Whatever you're into, get rid of it. Get rid of it. Take yourself through a process of self-examination. Gentlemen, let me ask you this. Are you ready? Hang in there now. Hang in there. Do you love your wife as Christ loved the church? Now, come on. Do you love your wife as Christ loves the church? Are you there for her? Are you loving her? Are you blessing her? Are you encouraging her? Are you saying all kinds of wonderful, sweet things to her? If not, let's change right now. Amen? Ladies, equal opportunity pastor. Are you loving your husband? Are you blessing your husband? Are you encouraging your husband? Are you respecting your husband? Come on now. See, God wants us to have our hearts changed. We just can't come in here and sit in these nice, cushy chairs. We have to change day by day. Lord, root out the ugliness that's within me. Sometimes we have to literally pray for a heart transplant. I need a heart transplant, Lord. My heart is so vicious. Yes. I know. I will do it. Come to me. Love me. Confess your sins to me. I will change you. Now start living for me. Remember, he's a man of the word, right? He's a man of the word. So don't just say, well, God's just not changing me. No, You are, because you're a disciple of Christ, you're a man or woman of the Word. And as you go to the Word tells you what is wrong and what is right and how to live right, how to stay right. And so now you're going to change according to the Word of God. It's His instruction manual. You and I would follow in the footsteps of our Lord Jesus Christ and the lifestyle that He had for all people. Amen. See, this is what has to take place. But some people just say, well, I prayed and nothing's happened. Put feet to your faith, man. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Start walking with God. The Holy Spirit will change you if you look to the Word of God and then you obey it. That's the key. I have to obey. If I don't obey, what's the use of the book? You can read it and walk away. No change. You can come to service. No change. What's the use? But if you come with a heart that is humble, that is contrite, that is open, that is sincere, that is real, that is honest, and you come and you say, okay, Lord, speak to me tonight. I want to be more like you. I want you to change me. See, this is Daniel. This is who he is. This is why God used him so tremendously, because he's real. He's real. And he confesses the sins. Step number two is the recognition of our sins. We recognize our sins. Let us not reject God's word, rejection of God's teachers, rejection of God. This is what the children of Israel had done. They rejected God's word. They had rejected God's teachers. They rejected God himself. What changes do you need to make in your own life? Think about it now. I don't have to write it right now, but just think about it. Let's see, Lord, what do I need to change? Tell me, Lord, what do I need to change in my own life right now? Maybe you need to be more disciplined in your life. Maybe you've gotten lazy. Okay? Lord, I need to get more disciplined. Lord, I have a problem with my anger. I need self-control. I need to be more loving. Amen. Lord, I gossip about people. I need to stop gossiping. Lord, I'm condescending. I'm critical of people. Help me to be encouraging. Encouraging my wife, encouraging my husband, encouraging my children. Instead of being so critical over everything they do. What'd you do it that way for? How come you did that? You should be doing it this way. You know what? Let people breathe. Let people live. Encourage them. Build them up. Strengthen them in life, in the faith. Important. Step number three, repentance, verse 9 to 15. He says, To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness. Though we have rebelled against him, we have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws. To walk. You see that? That's the action. That's the walking. That's why God gave us the book of Acts. It was the action that takes place. We have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants and the prophets. You know, notice it says laws. It doesn't say if you think you want to, you know, kind of a deal. I was driving here to church. I went and had lunch, and I was driving back. And there on the side of the freeway was a motorcycle cop. And guess what he was doing? He was going to see who's breaking the law. He had that big old radar gun out there. And, of course, immediately, what do? Like me. I looked at my speedometer. You put the brakes on. How fast am I going? Oh, no, 85 miles an hour. No, I wasn't. Thank goodness there's a lot of traffic. I was just going 55. All was cool, man. But, you know, you break that law, you're busted. Hey, Lord, I want to walk in the ways of your laws. His laws are always good. They protect me and they provide for me. When I go outside his laws, I hurt myself and I hurt others. Okay? So he says, we have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he has set before us by his servants, the prophets. Yes, all Israel has transgressed your law and has departed so as not to obey your voice. Therefore, the curse and the oath written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against him. And he has confirmed his words, which he spoke against us and against our judges who judged us by bringing upon us a great disaster. For under the whole heaven such has never been done as what has been done to Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us. Yet we have not made our prayer before the Lord our God that we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth. Boy, that's a highlighter right there. We would turn from our iniquities and understand your truth. You know, sometimes people think, if I don't hear it, if I don't see it, if I don't read it, then I'm okay. That's it. I'm not accountable. I promise, because I haven't heard it. I don't see it. You're always accountable because the law of God's already been written on your heart. And God's given you a conscience, and the Holy Spirit is working on you. So you cannot escape the judgment of God. You cannot escape the righteousness of God. You see, there is no excuse. Reality is, if you're sinning, you're sinning. Stop it. Let's live for the Lord. Amen? That's it. I
wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't for my wife, the way she's treating me, or the way that happened at the job, or the way the environment I grew up in. You know, stop all that. Hey, you're sinning because you want to. Period. Let's repent. Let's get right. That's what it's all about, being honest. And he says, look, all these things are happening to us because we went against the law that you gave us through Moses the prophet. You spelled it out to the T, how to be blessed and how to be cursed. Let's discover. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy, back up in your Old Testament. Go to Deuteronomy 28. What I want you to understand in this prayer is Daniel has the revelation of God's word. Daniel has a recognition within this prayer of his sins and the sins of his people, of our nation, as well as it's time to repent. We need to get right with God. It's a powerful, powerful prayer that changes a heart and the heart of a nation. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 28. It says here, I'm going to read through this real quickly. Now it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand, and it will bless you in the land which the Lord your God has given you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you. If you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Isn't it interesting that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. No man comes to the Father except through me. He wants us to have his way, his truth, and his life in our hearts. And then he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. I'll bless you. Amen. Then it says, then all the peoples, verse 10, then all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods, and the fruit of your body, and the increase of your livestock, and the produce of your ground, in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above all, you shall be above only, and not be beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. So you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods and serve them. Multiculturalism, they call it. I don't mind all races of people, and they're coming from the different cultures, but I will not follow their gods. And our nation was not built to follow these foreign gods. Our nation was never built to embrace Sharia law or Islam. Our nation was built to embrace the Christian faith, because our founding fathers, majority of them were Christians. 52 of the 56 signers of the Constitution were Christians. They knew what they were doing. They established the checks and balances to protect us from tyranny. We must maintain what God has given us. Otherwise, we're going to lose it. I found it interesting. He tells us that you will lend to many nations and not borrow. But what has happened to us? How many trillions of dollars are we in debt now? $20 trillion in debt. It's going to come a day, going to have to pay the piper. We've got to get a handle on this thing. We need to stop what we've been doing. We need to turn around and get right with God, number one. And number two, we have to have fiscal responsibility in government. In government. Instead of people paying off all these different groups and organizations with all these entitlements, with all these grants, with all these things, so that they can get their votes. They're buying votes. It's all going to stop. I know I'm starting to sound like Donald Trump. Drain the swamp. Anyway, we have to do what's right. Do what is best for America. A house divided cannot what? Cannot stand. And this is what's happening. They're dividing our country up into all these different groups where they're all divided and we're fighting amongst ourselves. One nation under God. One nation under God. Indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen? But you see what Satan is doing? He's trying to divide us off. All this rioting in the streets that we're having right now, you just go all the way back to the Wall Street riots, the sit-ins and all this stuff, the protests. This is all orchestrated to destroy America. It's the socialists that are trying to conquer America through anarchy. This is one of their tactics. You have to recognize this. This is not what our founding fathers gave us. All right. Now, what does God say in verse 15 of chapter 28? But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord, your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the country. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your land, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. Cursed shall be you shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will send on you cursing, confusion, and rebuke in all that you set your hand to do, until you are destroyed, until you perish quickly, because of the wickedness of your doings, in which you have forsaken me. The Lord will make the plague cling to you until he has consumed you from the land which you are going to possess. The Lord will strike you with consumption, with fever, with inflammation, and with severe burning, fever with a sword, with scorching, with mildew, that he shall pursue you until you perish. And your heavens, which are over your head, shall be bronze, and the earth which is under you shall be iron. The land will change the rain of your land to powder and dust. From the heaven it shall come down on you until you are destroyed. The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You shall not go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. Or rather, you shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. And you shall become troublesome to all the kingdoms of the earth. Your carcasses shall be food for all the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and no one shall frighten them away. The Lord will strike you with the boils of Egypt, with tumors, with the scab, and with the itch. from which you cannot be healed. The Lord will strike you with madness and blindness and confusion of heart, and you shall grope at noonday as a blind man gropes in darkness. You shall not prosper in your ways. You shall be only oppressed and plundered continually, and no one shall save you. You shall betroth a wife, but another man shall lie with her. You shall build a house, but you shall not dwell in it. You shall plant a vineyard, but you shall not gather its grapes. Your ox shall be slaughtered before your eyes, but you shall not eat of it. Your donkey shall be violently taken away from before you and shall not be restored to you. Your sheep shall be given to your enemies, and you shall have no one to rescue them. Your sons and your daughters shall be given to another people, and your eyes shall look and fail with longing for them. And all day long there shall be no strength in your hand. A nation whom you have not known shall eat the fruit of your land and the produce of your labor, and you shall be only oppressed and crushed continually. So you shall be driven mad because of the sight which your eyes see. The Lord will strike you in the knees and on the legs with severe boils, which cannot be healed, from the sole of your foot to the top of your head. The Lord will bring you and the king whom you set over you to a nation which neither you nor your fathers have known, and there you shall serve other gods, wood and stone, and you shall become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations where the Lord will drive you. You shall carry much seed out to the field, but gather little in, for the locust shall consume it. You shall plant vineyards and tend them, but you shall neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worm shall eat them. You shall have olive trees throughout all your territory, but you shall not anoint yourself with the oil, for your olives shall drop off. You shall beget sons and daughters, but they shall not be yours, for they shall go into captivity. Locusts shall consume all your trees and produce of your land. The alien who is among you shall rise higher and higher above you, and you shall come down lower and lower. He shall lend to you, but you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and pursue and overtake you until you are destroyed, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he has commanded you. And they shall be upon you for a sign and a wonder, and on your descendants forever, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything. Therefore, you shall serve your enemies, whom the Lord will send against you, in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, and in need of everything. And he will put a yoke of iron on your neck until he has destroyed you. Wow. America, wake up. The word of the Lord is true. It always comes to pass. Thank God in our nation, there are a lot of Christians praying the mercies of God will stay upon us. And they want to see the nation changed back to righteousness. We want righteous laws. We want righteous people ruling. Enough of the greed, enough of the power, enough of the control, enough of the tyranny, enough of the heavy taxation. Let's get back to loving God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, and loving our neighbor as ourself. May I say, and all God's people said? See, this is the prayer of Daniel. This is what he knows in his heart. He prays according to the word of God. This is so valuable for us to learn as Christians. When we pray according to what we know in the word of God. Back to Daniel chapter 9. We'll finish up. Step number one, he has the revelation of who God is. Step number two, he has the recognition of who he is and who his people are. We're all sinners. We need to repent of our sins, which led us to step number three, the repentance, because they have broken the laws of God. And now step number four, we have reconciliation. Go to verse 16. O Lord, Daniel chapter 9, verse 16. O Lord, according to all your righteousness, I pray, let your anger and your fury be turned away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers. Jerusalem and your people are a reproach to all those around us. Now, therefore, our God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications, and for the Lord's sake, cause your face to shine on your sanctuary, which is desolate. Oh, my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations and the city which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplications before you because of our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies. Go back to verse 16, where we started step number 4, reconciliation. Notice what he says that is so vitally important. O Lord, according to all your what? Your righteousness. Now look it. If I think about this, I go, well, gee whiz, your righteousness is righteous. I mean, it's righteous. And if I am going to be judged by your righteousness, man, there's no way. And he's praying, oh, Lord, according to all your righteousness, I pray, let your anger and your fury be turned away. But I would read this and say, but wait, if it's his righteousness that is the standard, I'm going to get his fury because I can't climb that high, man. What is he saying? He's prophetically saying that the righteousness of God will cover us as we repent of our sins. When you repent of your sins, you now turn to the right ways of God. And you'll start living the right way. You'll start turning to his righteousness. It is by the righteousness of Christ that we are saved. Christ lived a holy and righteous life. He never sinned. No guile was to be found in him. He never sinned whatsoever. He set the standard for all. And I can't attain it. But yet, in his gift of salvation, he clothes me in his righteousness because I have repented before him and so have you. And you say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he says, I will. And I will clothe you in my righteousness. And I will fill you with my Holy Spirit. And it will change you. So now you'll start living according to my righteousness. See, a man or woman of God understands how sinful we are, how holy God is, and how we need to be covered in his righteousness. And that's what God does. He's covered us in his righteousness. And now we want to live for the Lord. We want to live righteously because we realize how loving, how kind, how merciful our God is. Can we say amen? It's not a have to, it's a want to. It's a want to. When you're in love with somebody, you want to please their heart, amen? You want to do the right things. So Daniel brings us to that place of repentance, that place of reconciliation, where he says the only way we can be reconciled is by the righteousness and by the mercies of God. And God would send his son in his righteousness to take our sins and judgment upon himself and then clothe us in his righteousness and fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit. Go to verse 19, step number 5. We have restoration. We have revelation, we have recognition, we have repentance, we have reconciliation, and now we have restoration. Oh, Lord, hear. He's still praying, man. Oh, Lord, hear. Oh, Lord, forgive. Oh, Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake, my God, for your city and your people are called by your name. Now, that's the second time we're seeing this, right? Did he not say it in verse 18? Oh, my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations in the city which is called by your name. Lord, look it. I know I'm a blow it, but in the name of Jesus Christ, my Savior, save me. Please forgive me. Please cleanse me. Jesus' name means Yahweh is salvation. Amen. The Bible says that Christ will complete the work in us until that day. What day? The day of taking us to heaven through death or the rapture of the church. Jesus never quits on us. So when I pray in Jesus' name and I ask him, Lord, I need your help. I've blown it. I've made mistakes. Lord, I know you're God of second chances, third chances, 70 times 7, 490 chances, and on it goes, right? And he's always there for you. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll always be there for you because I love you. And I'm a merciful God. I'm a merciful Savior. And I want to change your heart and your life. So let's change today, right now. Let's change today. Start living for me. Start living righteously for me. Oh God, for your name's sake, do this. Honor the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, my friends. God has saved you, not because of you, but because of his son, Jesus Christ, paid the price for your sins. In the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Do it willingly now and ask him to be your Savior. Don't end up doing it later where you're standing before him or kneeling before him as a judge. Amen. Go to verse 20. These are the five steps of Daniel: revelation, recognition, repentance, reconciliation, restoration, and finally, our third insight. Insight number one, prophecy leads to prayer. We have Daniel's five steps to answered prayer because God will answer his prayer. He's going to bring children of Israel back. God hears this prayer. One man praying to God. Beautiful. Then we finish with this, verse 20. Daniel says, now while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin, continuing, it's not just, oh Lord, forgive me of my sins. No, it's naming your sins. When we read in 1 John 1, 9 and 10, it says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just, forgive us our sins. He's saying, if we confess our sins, name your sins to God. Lord, I've done this, and I've done this, and I've been doing this, and it's wrong, and I ask for your forgiveness. Will you please forgive me? Lord, I want to change. I want to change. I need your help, Lord. Please forgive me. And then he says, confessing my sin, the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplications before the Lord my God, for the holy mountain of my God. Yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, we call this the angel Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering, and he informed me and talked with me and said, oh, Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill to understand. At the beginning of your supplications, the command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved, therefore consider the matter and understand the vision. You know what happens when you go to prayer and you're sincere and you're honest before God? All of life becomes clear. The fog is removed. The depression is removed. The frustration is removed. The confusion is removed because you've turned to God with a whole heart and you've asked him to forgive you. You've gone through the list of your own sinful ways. You've asked him to help change you. And all of a sudden, you'll get up from your knees or your chair or whatever you're at, and all of a sudden, you'll begin to see clearly. And all of a sudden, you know and you understand that God has forgiven you and that you have a brand new life in Christ. And all of a sudden, there's a new energy that's inside of you. It's called the Holy Spirit. See, the Bible says if we continue in sins, we actually grieve the Holy Spirit within us and we quench the Holy Spirit within us. But when we recognize our sins and we repent of our sins, we are reconciled to God, and now the Holy Spirit begins to flow through us once again. And now as we read the scriptures, my understanding is now refreshed. My heart is refreshed. My soul is revived. My life, my countenance and my face, everything changes because now I've been forgiven, I've been cleansed, I've been washed, and I'm walking in the newness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You are a new creation in Christ. And this freshness flows throughout our Christian life. It's called sanctification. And as somebody comes along, you pick up a lot of filth in this world and of your flesh. You're filthy, dirty, and you stink. And it's like, oh, man. And then you repent. And all of a sudden, God takes the Holy Spirit fire hose, you know, just washes you, man. And it's like, oh, man, I feel so much better. Have you ever, guys or girls, whoever, you ever work out in the dirt all day long? You know, you're digging, you're sweating, and the dirt's flying, and everything's a mess, and you stink. But, man, after that shower, I feel so much better.
Amen. And you know what? Everybody wants to be around you now, not before. And that's what happens. And this is the power of Daniel's prayer for himself and for the nation. And as the people repent, things will change always for the better. And all God's people said. Now, if you want extra credit, read the rest of the chapter. If you don't understand it, go to the website, listen to Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27, and I explain all the things of the last days that Daniel receives from the angel Gabriel in regards to what's going to happen to Israel. The whole 70 weeks of Daniel are displayed, 483 years fulfilled with the Messiah coming for the first time, and then the seven-year tribulation is listed out there. The destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD is listed. The coming of the Antichrist is listed. The Messiah is going to be crucified. It's all listed in those 24 to 27 verses. Powerful, powerful verses. Don't have time to go into it, although I'd like to, but we don't have time. Let's pray. So let's stand and pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we rejoice in your love, and we thank you for your greatness, your goodness, your kindness, your awesomeness of who you are and what you're doing in and through our lives. We thank you for this precious prayer of Daniel that is so very, very powerful for us individually, for us as a church, and for us as a nation, for us as a state. Lord, we pray that we all would turn to you with humble hearts, repentful hearts, refreshed hearts, revived hearts, powerful hearts that are filled with the love and the mercies and the righteousness of Jesus Christ. As every head is bowed, every eye is closed, are you saved? Have you given your heart to Jesus Christ? Is he your Lord and Savior? Have you really committed your whole heart to him? Or have you had one foot in the world and one foot in the church? It's not going to work, my friend. He wants all of you. It's all or nothing. If you want Christ to come into your heart, forgive your sins, then raise your hand. Anybody here, you need to do that. Raise your hand. Let's get right with God today. God bless you, sister. Amen. Don't be afraid now. This is God's wants to do a work in your life. He wants to love you, bless you, help you. But you got to make that first step. God bless you. Way in the back. Anybody else tonight? As God speaks to you, he wants to help your life, cleanse your life, fill your life with love, peace, and joy. Anybody else? For those of you that raised your hands, just repeat with me this prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess to you that I am a sinner, and I want your Son, Jesus Christ, to come into my heart and save my soul. Jesus, please wash away all my sins with your holy and righteous blood. Please fill me with the power of your Holy Spirit, whereas I would hunger and thirst for your word and for your righteousness, and I would live for you. I know I'm not perfect, Lord, and I won't be perfect till I get to heaven. But I do want to love you. I want to do my best to honor you. So, Father, please help me. Jesus, please guide me. May your Holy Spirit work within me. Thank you, Father, for your love. And thank you, Jesus, for your salvation. In Jesus' name I pray. And all God's people said, amen.